Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
What more do you want him to do to demonstrate this than sending his own kid down here to live and die and be buried and raised from the dead? What do you got to have to believe it? He's on your side. He is on our side. If we will just listen and repent. It is amazing what is possible when you finally repent. Things change. Your whole life can change.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Close But No Cigar. Deuteronomy 4:7. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? Now here they're talking about a nation. And in the Old Testament, it was literally a nation of people. Geography, they lived in a certain place. There is a new nation of sorts. And the new nation, the new people, the new citizens of this country are believers. And in the Old Testament, if you know your Bible, know something about the Holy Spirit would come down on a king, on somebody, be on them, but he could leave. Come and go. There was not this indwelling. He dwelt in the temple, the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, but he would only come and stay with someone for a while and then go. In the New Testament, we understand that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. Now, you can never take this for granted. If you've been a Christian for a long time, you just say, well, I know that. He just lives in me, whatever. You can't take that for granted, because when you meet someone who is not a believer, they are empty. The reason they feel empty and hopeless and that things are not working is they do not have that presence inside of them. When they are alone, they are really alone. They are by themselves. As a believer, you can never be alone. You have God himself living in you and through you. So he says, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it? As a Christian, if you are a Christian, it is not just near, it is inside. Now, if you are not a Christian, there are times that you feel like God is right on you. As great as it is to be in the presence of someone, there is still nothing like having that someone present inside of you. And that is the difference in being a Christian. You are not by yourself. You have someone literally living inside your body. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to read you a few verses in this chapter to get to the verses where we're going. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. He says, now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Okay, now so far it doesn't look like he's saying anything bad. He's not trying to hurt anybody. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. But look at the condition. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not like you don't get it, and it's not like it's a long way off, like it's not right here with you. Now, let me stop here before we keep reading. The problem with most people is not knowing what the right thing to do is. And they say, well, I got to go look for an answer. If you are a believer, the answer is very, very close. Because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. You mix that with the Word of God, which we'll get to in a little bit. When the Spirit of God connects the Word of God in your heart, you know the right thing to do. It's not like some mystery. The problem is we don't want to know what He says to do. And we're trying to get away from God when we're in a bad place. It's not mysterious, and it's not as far away as you think. I talked to a guy who's having a really hard time in his marriage, and he's been going to marriage counseling, and the counselor one day walked in, and this is what the guy said. He said, here's what God told me about you. He said, you and your wife are 1 degree off. And he said, well, what is that supposed to mean? If you go 100 miles on a line, and the next line is 100 miles, and you're 1 degree off, how far do you think you're apart in 100 miles? How far apart are the two points on the line if they go out 100 miles? It's about 1 3/4 miles. And you say, well, why would you use that illustration? You're not as far apart as you think. You say, well, we just got a little bit apart. We're going just that much different direction. Are you willing to walk a couple of miles? You might be able to get home. So you think, well, me and God are so far apart. Can't be that far apart. He said, this isn't mysterious, and He's near. Now, as we go through this, maybe you'll be aware that you may not be as far away as you thought. Look at these next verses. Verse 12. He said, it is not in heaven that you should say, who shall ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it, then do it. He says, it's not like you got to go to heaven and get the answer. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. It's right on the tip of your tongue. It is in your heart. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. These are the two options. He's talking about blessing and cursing. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall perish. You shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which you crossed over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, he says, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You say, well, duh, that's simple. Then why don't we duh our way through our lives? If it's so duh, choose life then. You say, well, how do I do that? You know exactly how to do that. You know what the challenge is. You know what it is. It's right there. All you got to do, gosh, I didn't want to do this. Shoot, I hate this stuff. Oh, I don't want to do this, but here we go. About a week and a half ago, things got a little wacky in my house. And let's just say there was some screaming and yelling. Enough so that my two girls that are still at home are not used to that. And I screamed some things, and it went back and forth with Rebecca. And I'm sorry. I've had those words on the tip of my tongue and in my heart for days. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. For some of you, it's a simple, I love you. For some of you, it's a simple, I'm sorry, and you're too proud to say the words. You may not like that's what God has for you to do, but you know what it is. It may be words you have to say to Him. It may be words you have to say to each other. But this is not mysterious, complicated stuff. You say, I just don't know what's wrong. My theory is, yes, you do. and you're trying to fix peripheral stuff that has nothing to do with the core because you don't want to deal with the core. You don't want to go back and make it right. And you are going to waste year after year after year trying to fix stuff. Listen to these verses. Psalm 75:1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. All you got to do is look around. You go, everything he made is right here. He's got to be near. Psalm 95:7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, and he talks here about today. Psalm 145:18. Listen to this. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. If you will finally get honest with him and say, God, I'm not saying thank you for the food. I'm not saying thank you for this or that, or give me this or that. You're finally getting real. You're getting transparent. You're saying, God, look, okay, enough already. I'm calling on you, and here's the truth. Here's who I really am. You already know it, but I've been acting like we got no issue. We got issues, and the issues are me. The issues are never you. The issues are me. So if something's wrong in the relationship, I am wrong. I'm sorry, and I will call out to you, but I will also be willing to call out what is wrong and call it by name. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him, what? While he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This God is not out to get you. He is not your enemy unless you make him your enemy. He is trying to help. What more do you want him to do to demonstrate this than sending his own kid down here to live and die and be buried and raised from the dead? What do you got to have to believe it? He's on your side. He is on our side. If we will just listen and repent, it is amazing what is possible when you finally repent. Things change. Your whole life can change. I can tell you right now, my relationship with my wife is better right now. I feel better. I did what I was supposed to do. You say, oh, I don't feel so good. Well, what is it you're not doing? What is it you're not responding to? He's there. You better call on him while he's near. Go to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. And he's quoting here some of what we've been reading. Let's jump in here, verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from heaven, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How do you become a Christian? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Kurios Christos is what they used to say in the early church. They would say that to one another. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. I know for a fact there are people listening today who have never crossed this line. And you say, I think I'm so close. You say, I feel his presence around me. Something's going on and I just can't. It's like I can't breathe. If I would just go inhale him, he'd come in. He's right there. It's right there. All you have to do is just say, Jesus. Confess, Jesus, you are Lord. The reason you can't say Jesus is Lord is because you are Lord. And you both cannot be Lord. You've got to pick a God. And either you are your God or he is your God. And when you say words like, Jesus is Lord, you confess him Lord, that takes you off the throne. And all of a sudden allows him to be God even over your life. confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. People say, well, what about him dying on the cross and all that? You know what? Even if you believe he died on the cross and they buried him, if you don't believe he was raised from the dead, you're never going to make it. It is not enough to believe that he died. You have to understand that he died, was buried, but he was raised from the dead, because if he doesn't conquer death, you don't need him. A lot of people died on crosses. We don't need just some guy dying on a cross. There were thousands of those, but only one came back from the dead. So he died on the cross for our sins, was buried and raised. So you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and what does it say? You will be saved. I encourage you to do that right now. You say, well, I'm going to wait. For what? I got a call this week. And these are not fun calls. That a 54-year-old man on the job, gone to work that day, had not come to church the Sunday before because he said to his family, I think we need to get together and spend some time together as a family. And almost everybody showed up. And then a couple of days later, I think it was, he went to work, an industrial explosion, a piece of glass from a water purification device of some kind, glass lodged in his groin, severed his artery, and he bled to death. And I buried him. And his wife is sitting there, and his children are sitting there, and their dad is gone. And nobody planned it. I don't get people saying, hey, I think I'm going to die in November. Are you available for my funeral? Nobody plans that stuff. You know why? Because you don't know unless you're on your deathbed. It's funny how being on a deathbed wakes people up. If you're going to do something, sometimes that motivates you. But we all live and act like we're not going anywhere. It's not going to happen to me. It wasn't happening to him. Thank God he was ready and had some conversations. You say, well, I'm going to wait. For what? Because if you wait to apologize to your wife and you drop dead, okay, that's one thing. You'll wait to apologize to God, you're in trouble. You say you're trying to scare us. You are darn right I am. Because this is life and death. This stuff doesn't matter until it matters. And it needs to matter before you think it matters, or you'll never do anything about it. There has to be some urgency. You say, well, I've already got that figured out. I know I'm dying and going to heaven. Then what about the other stuff you won't do anything about? What about the other conversations you need to have? You go, well, I'm going to wait. If the Holy Spirit is saying today, the answer to your question is today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. We'll read that in a minute. Keep reading. For with the heart one believes, Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. He's rich no matter who you are, Jew or Greek. This thing is blown wide open to anybody who will call. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know why I read so much scripture? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And my prayer and my hope is that as we read these scriptures and you hear them out loud, that somehow God gives you faith, and your faith mixed with his word will result in some change in your life. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Hebrews chapter 3, last one. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's jump in at verse 5. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. It cost them 40 years of their lives. They died out there because they hardened their hearts. Today, if you hear him, do not harden your heart. You say, well, but I'll do it another day. You won't do it another day. It's not a guarantee. You say, well, it sounds like God is always near me. Even if I get 100 miles out and it was just a little bit off, he's always near. But you know what? You may not care anymore. How many couples do I meet? Haven't had any intimacy for 8 years, 10 years, haven't been together. You know where that stuff locks up. I'm right. No, I'm right. And now we're both in a mess. It is more important to be right than it is to be right. It is more important for the relationship to be right than it is for you to be right. You say, well, there's too much water under the bridge. We're just staying together because of the kids now, or we were friends forever, but we're not going to talk anymore because he said that. You have to get over yourself. You have to have some kind of relationship with God in order to cross those lines and let him love in you and through you and restore stuff that needs to be restored. Don't be proud. It is too expensive. It will cost you too much. I've wasted a week and a half of my marriage being proud, walking around awkward and weird. It's ridiculous. You say, well, I don't think I'm missing anything. I'm right. And how's that working out for you? That's just brilliant. And you'll end up bitter, mean, hateful, try to get away from God. Why? Because he's near. He's on you. He's saying, today, let's do something about this. And then your ears get full of pride wax. That's what it is. It's pride wax. Keep reading. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, not once a week, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, and he repeats it, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. They didn't believe there was a consequence. They didn't believe what he said was right, was worth believing. If you hear him at all, for Christ's sake, your sake, everybody's sake, respond. You say, well, I'm going to pray about it. Forget praying about it. Enough praying about it. There is nothing to pray about anymore. Do something already.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
In carnivals and stuff back in the day, if you played their little game, they'd give you a prize. And one of the prizes they used to hand out were cigars. But if you missed, what would you think they'd say? Close? No cigar. You are so stinking close, you have no idea. But unless you respond, you can be that close and miss it. You can go 100 miles, 1 degree apart, and if you're willing to stop and make a turn, if both of you stopped and made a turn, you just got to walk about a mile and you're back. With God, it's not that far. It's in your mouth, in your heart. All you got to do is say, I'm back. Or, I'm here for the first time. I confess the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart. You raised him from the dead. Save me. You're the only one who can.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.